Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is a quad better than a threesome?
What was the reaction?
Different kind of question sounds like. Quick answer on that. You prefer a quad or a threesome?
I think there'll be a lot. You've got a much higher percentage chance of touching you if you're in a quad.
I will go, can I ask you a question with another question, please? What's your ratio? Yeah. Is it, imagine it's a bit like the wheel, isn't it? You say the back of your hand catches it or eye contact or like, you know, what are the rules? And is it like, what sound are you making?
Well turned on, but it's like a massive.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, fella. Well, yeah, what would you go with? Are you going mate, fella? What are you saying?
Fella, definitely fella.
And then, look, there you go. Look, I've got this ready for you. We're going to do a little Man City, you know, Liverpool preview. Any anger with the team there? I'm intrigued to know if anyone has any ill feelings.
Isn't a more interesting game, Villa versus Tottenham? That's, if out of two games you should be watching, it should be that one.
What? So
that will be.
Yeah, that's true.
That'll be some game.
It's a bumper weekend, isn't it? It's a bumper weekend.
Don't have the eyes, though. Doesn't get the eyes, though, Jim, does it?
Well,
need Liverpool in the title. It's frustrating that Villa is the team that we've got to play because it's such a tiny little football club. It's almost like, do you know, sometimes you feel like this fixture is beneath you? It's kind of like that for me this weekend.
Love how you flip-flop. So hang on, is it like damning because it should equality for all and eyes for all, or are Aston Villa beneath you in this bumble weekend of football? Could you just let me know? Because I feel like I don't feel like I'm on firm ground here.
I just feel like, do you know what I mean? If we've got to play someone, it's like Villa's just a bit like, oh God, not Villa. Jesus, what are they doing here? Are they still in the league? That's what it's kind of that feeling.
So who we got? Villa. They're still knocking about, are they? They're above us. What? they're above us. What?
They're four.
Tiny little Aston Villa.
Teeny tiny Aston Villa four.
In terms of I feel like we might have a charged podcast this week, Flav, because I think everyone's a bit annoyed. Everyone's a bit angry. I think we're probably in that same camp as well, with just sort of. There's things knocking about. I wonder if we're in sort of like woe season, whereas previously, in years gone by, we've had it's been a case of, say, for example, us last year, both of us were in a place of where we created a phrase, I can't do this anymore. And I don't think we're in that place. And I think actually most teams, aside from probably Sheffield United fans right now and Rotherham fans right now, are in that place of, I can't do this anymore. And that maybe leads to a sort of an anger and aggression in the world that we live in and in everything that we seem to be consuming right now. I feel like there's a lot of anger out there.
Well, the problem with Twitter is it gave everyone a platform, didn't it? Whether you deserve one or not. Like if your YouTube channel you've built over many years, right? You put a lot of graft in, a lot of effort. You built your subscriber base. Mm. On Twitter, you just can tweet whatever you like. And if it gains some traction, you've suddenly exposed to a massive audience. And that opinion doesn't have to be valid or useful at all. In fact, it can be infuriating.
Yeah, that's true. So, but people still, built up that channel And then people go, I really enjoyed the game at the weekend. I thought it, tactically it was really interesting. We were really, really excited about the video. Put the video out and there's a comment. Someone goes, why have you even bothered with this analysis? I was like, mate, I'm fucking trying here. I'm trying to love the game and I'm trying to share that passion with you. Meet me halfway, mate. Because I'll tell you what. I am excited. I'm excited about Queen's Park Rangers. We can have a look at the championship table, which is insane right now. Yeah, and actually, you might not want to hear this, Flav, but this Premier League season is awesome. It's absolutely awesome. And especially at the top, I was thinking about this. I'm going to chuck this out there. And you have to let me finish with this one. And you're not going to like it. This is one of the best title races I think we're going to have or have had, full stop. And I think if you always have like, is this the greatest Man City team? Is this the greatest Premier League title? If Liverpool win, and to be honest, if any three of these teams in the running for the title win the title, it's very possibly the most iconic Premier League win ever. And in particular, I would say for Liverpool. If Liverpool win the league this year, it's right up there. Regardless of what the points totals are or this and that or games lost, Liverpool, with the narrative that they have with Klopp, with two clear contenders alongside them, one being, you know, Arsenal on the march up, one being Man City trying to win it for the fourth time. And let's be honest, the Liverpool team is not as good as the Arsenal or Man City team. As the Man City team. So for them to win the league, despite that, with all the last minute wins that they've had, 10 men down against Newcastle, like loads of last minute victories, they're going to have to play Man City. And in the run up, they're going to have to play, loads of them are having to play you guys, right? They've all got really tricky run ins. So if Liverpool can win it, I think it will be one of the most iconic Premier League seasons of all time. So why are we all getting so aggy? Can we just enjoy the sport?
I see what you're saying there, Jim. And I agree with you. And it kind of leads me to a question I've got for you, Jim.
Go on.
It's something that's sort of been percolating since the weekend. Because I was under the impression that there was a conspiracy, a cabal of referees that were out to get Liverpool. I thought that was a known fact that Liverpool get no help from the referees at all, do they? In fact, there is a corruption, if you believe some of the people on Twitter, there is a corruption in the PGMO MOL that wants to stop Liverpool from achieving anything, except at the weekend when...
People say these things even themselves out, Flav.
Take that energy. Take that energy in the start of the season when a lot of them were crying about the Luis Diaz goal. It was incorrect. Everyone agreed it was incorrect. Doesn't mean there's a conspiracy. And if there was a conspiracy, surely that ball should have been given back to Nottingham Forest at the weekend rather than to Liverpool.
Well, I mean, that is very interesting.
Another question, and I don't want to upset Liverpool fans, because literally as a fan base, probably the worst online to upset. Didn't it show a lack of sportsmanship? Did they play the game in the spirit that it was intended? These are just questions. You answer me. Because I'm just asking a question. I don't know. I wouldn't know. I'm just asking questions. I'm here to ask questions, Jim.
I did the podcast this week with Mark Bono, who's a professional manager. He was a manager at Cambridge United for 200 odd games.
Okay.
And it was great. We did a really good podcast and we asked questions that, you know, managers generally don't want to answer. And one was about like the dark arts and time wasting and, you know, is that all okay? And he was like, yeah, absolutely, it's fine. And this is a thing, right? It feels like we're in a space right now where two things can't be true. Two things can't be true. Or also you can't just like leave shit. Either. That's the other thing. By the way, we are doing the pod with our beloved, gorgeous patrons. The likes of, you know, Maliki. Harry Adderley, who had a very difficult debut a while back. I think that was you, Harry. Luke's here. Yeah, George's here. All our beautiful people are here. And if you would like to become a patron, please do. We do a mailbag where if you think we're ranting now, we went on one this week. So make sure you check that out. But in this pod, we're going to be talking about Liverpool versus Man City because it is a monster of a game. As I said, that creates Premier League win. Who gets hammered on Monday? I've got in here, Flav. We've got some... I would like to touch on Arsenal's form. We've got 1 week bans. The new Champions League format, I think, is interesting. We should talk about that as well. And also, if YouTubers were flavours, hot off the heels of last week. And you'll have to decide which flavour you are today, Flav, because we've got a whole host for you. But in that podcast with Mark, the point was that everyone cheats all the time. Everyone's okay with it if it works for them. And in terms of cheating, is probably a too charged a word in this, but like the absolute like horror show that was the offside against you guys was completely wrong. And obviously you're up in arms, and so you're more angry when it's against you, right? I haven't heard
only
but
angry.
But the other side of it is things like that, because that's Forest could go down because of that.
Yeah.
Like that's a bigger problem than Liverpool, like winning or not winning the title in terms of like actual how a club
what he could do
next,
for the club
next 10 years will be determined, right? And it's you know, Liverpool weren't bothered about that, and I haven't
they bothered.
Because of course they weren't bothered.
The problem is, once you get on your moral high ground and you convince there is a agenda against you, you're on dodgy ground.
that was a double Samism, if I may. Yeah, possibly.
What? No, dodgy ground. No, hang on. Didn't I? It doesn't matter. I don't know why we've created this Samism bullshit. We should never have done it. Yeah. It's ruining me.
But you don't need that. Speak. You don't need that before you got to drive to the overlap. You don't need that.
Mate, I'm just going to go with them. If they happen in the overlap, I'm just going to plough on.
Mate, totally. You've got to plough on.
Can't speak.
What did you just say there? When you get on your moral high ground, which I think you meant high horse, and then you went, you're treading on thin water. He doesn't need this right now.
Need this. I'm trying to talk for a living. Did I say overlip?
No, he didn't. Did he?
This is useless. The problem is that. Actually,
just because this might be important. One of the comments last week said that you said areola instead of ireola. He's not a nipple. That was the other thing. I wasn't going to say that. It wasn't in the running order. I did read it. I was going to let it go, but I think it might be good for you just in case it pops up. But I mean, they probably won't get to Bournemouth, will they? They never do.
Areola, apologies for that. Areola is a common name, though.
Nipple? Areola?
Yeah. Yes, there's loads of people called Areola.
Really?
Yeah. All right.
Oh, yeah, Areola, of course, yeah, his surname. Yeah.
Right, where was we? Yeah, so the problem is that when you cast yourself, oh Christ, when you put yourself in a position where you're
on the moral high, you take the moral high ground.
You've got to go both ways. When it happens against you, you have to have the same energy. You can't just be quiet then, because it means that when you have something to say, it's worthless, because you're really not talking about the spirit of the game. You're not talking about what's right and what's just and what's fair. You're merely complaining that something unfortunate or frustrating has happened to your football club, which isn't a conversation. Go and be frustrated fucking anywhere else other than in front of me.
And to be clear, I think what you're saying as well is like, you know, Arteta's done this and I'll do this and we'll all do this and we'll all kind of take it when it works for us and we'll be pissed off when it's the opposite. But it's like, it's just this, there's this, yeah, like you say, there's this new level of like...
It's embarrassing though. It's an embarrassing way to behave.
There's a lack of acceptance in the world, isn't there?
The way Arteta behaves when decisions don't go his way is pathetic. It's really pathetic.
And so, to be fair, I asked the fans, well, like this, Ange is generally quite good for the ref thing, isn't he?
Yeah, but maybe he shouldn't be. Maybe he should be an arsehole like the rest of them.
Yeah, maybe. Liverpool, we've got some good questions as well, actually, this week. I don't want to go to them early or not. We'll come back to it in a bit. So, Liverpool Man City, to the tactics ball! for the first time on the Jaffin podcast. By the way, guys, we are working on getting this beautiful bit of software, great bit of kit, wouldn't you agree, Flav, to you, the masses. We're working very hard, so stay tuned. That is the aim. That's been the aim from the start. That's why people haven't answered when people say, where do you get the software? The reason being, we want to get it to a place where we can then give it to the people. That's the dream.
We built it.
We have built it ourselves. We built it ourselves. It's bespoke to the Jimbo, and it could be bespoke to you soon. So yeah, keep an eye out. So I've put the team here. I don't know if people... Why don't I see Konate? Oh, yeah. I thought I just changed that. That's weird. I must have put Gomez back out there. Konate's in there. Don't worry. This is a monster of a game. There are some players that... Obviously, we're recording this on Wednesday, so lots up in the air. In terms of injuries for Man City, it's just our boy Grealish at the moment. For Liverpool, I think they're... It's one where I reckon Salah plays, surely. Szoboszlai played some of the last game. He came off the bench. Endo, I think, was rested, if I'm right. Darwin Nunez has been kind of rested, but obviously came on and scored that goal. Oh, actually, do you want a little bit of a teaser? This just whilst we've been doing our rants, because I put this in. So in terms of if YouTubers were flavours, there was a couple for Rory. Rory was a flavour. So Chaz has said, no, I thought this was harsh. So we don't stand by this, but it was kind of funny. So I mean, the cotton candy of football content, enjoyable in a small amount, but sickly in bulk. A lot of fluff, not a lot of substance. Well, Rory gets lots of views consistently. So maybe people do like it in bulk. But what do you think of this, right? So Runescapian said, Rory is 100% the Darwin Nunez of football YouTube. He misses everything, but everyone still loves him. Right, just a comment. Comments there. It's there. There's one reply. And the reply is, didn't miss today, did he? Just leave it. That's my point. It's just fucking, why like the energy? Where's the energy? Where have you got the energy to fucking be able to do that?
Do you remember when our comment section used to be just a place of love and friendship?
Let's not, Flav. Don't quit on it now. Come on.
I have quit. I'm out.
He's out.
I'm not. We're never going to those comments.
No, I still believe in our comments. I still believe in our patrons. I think, but it's about, I don't know. How do you flush out the dregs? How do you sort of let them come in the revolving door and then just push them straight back out? And they talk shite. I reckon Salah will be back, but will Salah be at his best?
Do you think they'll win, though, Jim? But even if they have all of their best players, are Liverpool a side that can beat this Man City as they plan at the moment, one of the best? Again, like an extension of last season, one of the best the Premier has ever seen. They seem to be absolutely flying. And Liverpool, after three, I still just think Liverpool might drop away. And you're right, what you said at the start of the pod. Is even if this team starts, you know, which is not, you know, it's not a bad side at all. Goalkeeper beside, that you wouldn't over the length of a season back Liverpool, or certainly just towards the back end of the season, back Liverpool to win the league, and that's why if they do win it, it would be probably one of the greatest achievements that we've seen since maybe Leicester in terms of winning the league. You're right, the competition is there, but it hasn't been before. It's not a two-horse race. Very much a three-horse race, and that's a rare thing in the Premier League.
Totally.
City just feel like they've clicked into gear and they're just cooking.
Mate, they totally do.
And they have options everywhere.
They totally do.
And they always do it.
Sorry, we're just missing players again. I feel like I am. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I've done it again. Let's get Doku in there. I knew I'd got something wrong. I think the thing here is, so two things. First of all, I think the hype that you're going to hear from everyone is that this weekend's game is like the decider, essentially. I think that's bollocks. I just think it's absolute bollocks. Like I heard it on the radio. They were saying, do Liverpool have to win this one? I was like, no, like, you absolutely, like, it's just like, well, people just got it in their mind that it's just an utter given that Man City can't drop points anywhere else. It's just bollocks. Like, we've seen that this year. I know they start to cook, and we've all seen the Netflix trailer coming soon, which again is a great drop at the right time that could spin in the wrong direction if they start to drop a few points here and there. But they are mentally incredibly, incredibly strong.
What Netflix trailer?
Basically, they've got a little doc coming from the.
Well, we had a doc. How many fucking more docs are we making about that football club? We've done the doc. Is there going to be a doc when all these charges come in and they're absolutely fucked and kicked out of the league? We're going to see a doc around that.
Just tears. Just at 3 hours of tears.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think... So the doc... No, I think it's a clever time to drop the doc, for sure. But...
Stop making docs about Man City is all I say.
About docs about the winning. The problem here, yeah, so... Because this... I think this game, if you go, look, Liverpool got to win this, I just think it's silly. Like, I think the problem that they've got is the injuries they've got. Like, so what I'm doing here is just chucking in the players that are actually available to them off the bench, and I might even get this wrong. I'm sure, probably. And you can't see him now, for fuck's sake. Tsimikas, Jota, Gomez, Elliot. But it's kind of low. Obviously, you've still got the kids, and the kids are great, right? Gakpo as well, of course. So they have got some options. Like, they're in a better place again if Salah plays and if these players that they're hoping to come back. But obviously, Man City have just got, like, outrageous depth. And I just sort of, I don't know. I think these games are massive. I think they're important. I think, like, for Liverpool, you know, that overall sort of desire to have the momentum that they need is obviously a thing. But I could see Man City winning this one. And I could also still see Liverpool winning the league.
Oh, I don't know. You're right. It's too close to make it completely conclusive. You know, there's 2 points between them. The goal difference is, you know, relatively comparable. That can change in one game. You know, we've got 4 goals ahead, Liverpool plus 4 over Man City, but it isn't conclusive. It's not as definitive because it's so close, and there's 3 teams in it.
Well, yeah,
I would. Go on.
How you feeling about Arsenal? A sweet Gunners looking pretty sweet right now. Do you not think? Great. Can I give you a calm take that again, Arsenal fans aren't going to enjoy? They are looking great. They are looking so great. They are. But one must beware hubris. We must ring that bell. And the one thing, that we've got 1 week bans that people are putting there. I'm going to chuck one in there. If I was an Arsenal fan and I kept seeing this pray for blah, blah, blah on Twitter.
I don't even know what it is. I don't even think I want to know what.
So every time Arsenal are playing a team, I got told quite categorically that this has been going on for a while, but it trended on Twitter whilst Arsenal were playing Sheffield United. It was pray for Sheffield United. Now, I get the joke of it. I'm absolutely fine with the joke of it. I think it's funny.
What is the joke? What I don't understand.
Well,
it just says, so good, pray for them.
We believe in the lads, so pray for them because they're in trouble. And I saw pray for Porto, I think, this morning.
It's a thing. So whenever someone's in trouble, or going through some poor bit of form, it's like pray for.
No. It's when Arsenal, specifically when I think it's coming from Arsenal fans, when Arsenal play a team, the opponent, what trends is pray for insert team that Arsenal are playing now.
All right, that's good.
And if I was an Arsenal fan, and Arsenal are absolutely in the hunt here, but I think they've played a West Ham team that are sort of up and down. And we're in a funny little spot when they played them. They were never going to sort of stay in the bad place that they were over December. But I don't know. I don't want to take away the achievement of the goals that they're scoring because it's absolutely incredible. But I would also say those games against teams that I don't think have put up too much of a challenge against them. Like Sheffield United are in a horrible, horrible place right now.
Possibly the worst team I've ever seen in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Possibly. In that conversation,
they're like, I mean, Burnley, you forget about Derby back in the day, and you forget about these different teams.
Sheffield United could easily only get 2 more draws out of their remaining. How many games have we got left? No, we've got 11. Fucking hell, where's the season gone?
I know, sharp, right? It's been pretty quick.
Yeah, 38. Yeah,
Only 11 games left. 13 points. What's amazing, though, right? Sheffield United... Would you suggest that Sheffield United have had a miles worse season than Burnley? If you forget about the points.
It kind of feels like it, but...
They're on the same
not.
Points. Funny Sheffield old game, innit? It's a funny old game.
Absolutely drubbed, though, weren't they? I thought, like, bringing Wilder back would help. It's mate, I saw really. You on I was watching Sunderland Until We Die.
Yeah.
Talk. You were just there.
Just like, there. There.
All right, Jim.
I know. Yeah. All right, Jim. Oh, Jim's on the telly.
I had no idea. I was just watching it. I was having a nice glass of wine. I was watching it. I was like, Jim.
I know. I wasn't aware either. Jim. And then I started getting a lot of messages from people. Say, oh, look, there's Jim on Sunderland Until We Die.
Shame with that. The ownership changed and they just didn't get the access, it felt like. That's why it sort of disappeared.
What do you think it'll calm down? Yeah, you're right. But
they clearly just didn't get the access. But would you give if you're a professional outfit like QPR had it with the 4-year plan, still one of the greatest documentaries, football documentaries that I've seen. I don't know how it's aged, but it was really good. Was it 4-year plan or 5-year plan?
4-year plan, yeah. But it was the editor had final say on the edit, like and they allowed it. Just like the ego of that. It's just like fascinating. That's the thing with a lot of these ones now is that you know that these clubs aren't stupid anymore. They would generally kind of go, well, actually, we'll need to see it because if it's something that implicates us, then they're like, you know, that doesn't work for us. Whereas back then, they like seemed to be able to like put in anything, which was just incredible. I think that sometimes when it's say like with the Sunderland as well, with these with certain owners, when they're not switched on to that, their ego kind of kicks in and the first
season you could tell it was they loved it, the owners, they like that guy with the hair loved just being in it.
I think what in terms of one of the most tragically beautiful lines from a football documentary, there's a moment after the playoff final where Sunderland lose to Charlton in the last minute. I think Pratley scores.
I know is what you're talking about.
And the woman goes, when's it going to be our turn to celebrate? And I was like, babe, mate, I
haven't done any celebrating. I know how they feel about it.
No.
I know how they feel. Mate, I do.
Mate, on a weekly basis, you get to celebrate.
No.
When's it going to be our turn to celebrate? When's it going to be our turn to celebrate, man?
That's the Newcastle fans clipped that up for when they beat them in the FA Cup. It was pretty good.
That's out of order. Because, look, I got steamed
up. The running isn't decided this weekend for sure, but it's massive. It's the results against each other or how this title is going to be decided, I think. Like, if Arsenal go away to... They've got to go away to City and... Or haven't they?
Do you think... You know, the way that Liverpool and Man City went, like, blow for blow, so to speak, in terms of they won. Do you think... Obviously, Man City have the capacity to do that. Arsenal have shown that they... last year that they didn't have the capacity to do that, and it's obviously still to be seen if they can go and do that this year and really go toe-to-toe, and if they don't win then they don't win but at least go toe-to-toe. And then obviously Liverpool, you've got players coming back and you've got everything going on. Do you see it playing out that way? Do you think it will be shootout, or do you think it will be one where Man City sort of kind of cruise up into the distance because they've still got the hunger and the energy and all that stuff, and Liverpool have got too many parts that make them fun, but maybe not as complete?
Yeah, look, if Klopp had every tool at his disposal, right? If he had his playing, you know, not having to deal with these injuries, then you'd think tactically he'll find a way at getting at Guardiola. It might not win because you can never completely find a way that's foolproof in beating Guardiola's teams because he's a fucking genius, right? But in this instance, with the challenges that they've got, not just dealing with Manchester City, but the challenges they've got in their squad, there's one thing going for 30, 45 minutes against Chelsea in a League Cup one-off cup final, super motivated, and then going to Southampton and having beaten Southampton at home with kids coming off the bench or even starting. But playing Man City is a different beast altogether. And you just can't, in my brain, in my mind's eye, if I was able to conjure images, Broly starts popping up. I can't see anything other than...
You can't see anything, can you?
Can't see, well,
I'll stop there. Stop there.
help me talk, though. Help me get the sentence out. I can't see anything other than Man City winning. And it would be a statement victory because we know what Manchester City are capable of. We know what they consistently do every season. Is it true, like I heard on the radio, that they've won 8 in the last 7 titles?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. They know how to do it. Guardiola knows how to do it. Arteta doesn't. And Klopp's, the challenges with Klopp is that something you can't really do much about. So, yeah, man.
I just think that the point to me is that, yes, okay, Man City have got a much better bench here in terms of if some contingency plans, right? If anyone were to get injured. I think with Liverpool, the thing I said it right at the start of the season, was that you've got, the thing with Liverpool is if they've got answers, different kinds of answers to get themselves out of a problem. And so in a game like this at Anfield, right, which is crucial here, I'm pretty sure that's right? At Anfield, I think it does give them a chance. I just wonder about the rustiness and I wonder about the last 20 minutes of the game because I feel like he won't be at his best. Szoboszlai won't be at his best. Nunez will have enough fitness there for sure. Bradley is still a like kid. And you can't bring anyone on for him. But I guess it's one where like Trent's obviously had to go and deal with Doku in the past. But in the game that they played earlier in the season, Trent was so important going forward. So I just wonder what Bradley can do going forward for them. But I just think, I know it's so cliche. The fact that it's at home does change things for me at times. And it's like that could get them a draw. And then you move on.
I wonder what the feeling is amongst Liverpool fans. I wonder how they're sort of dealing with it. Because obviously they're always given Klopp's what he's delivered and the energy around that football club genuinely is different from most others, I think. And their togetherness is something you don't often see elsewhere. And because of that, when they've been written off in the past, they've often found a way. Mm. And I wonder if this is going to be another example, because Liverpool fans don't need, and Klopp doesn't need motivation in order to get his team playing the right way. And the players certainly, when they're playing in front of the Kop, don't need motivation. But when they're given it, when there's a scenario that's been created, like this injury crisis, backs against the wall, they're going up against two incredible teams in Arsenal and Manchester City, can they do it? That extra percent you get from that motivation on top of what's already there in Anfield and having a manager like Klopp could see a different type of performance. And being at home, it could be that, you know, there's times in the past where I think was it Barcelona in the Champions League one when they beat us in the final.
Mm.
Often people remember the Ajax turnaround, Spurs scoring in the last minute, probably more so because Spurs aren't usually in that position to be in such a prestigious competition late on and do something like that. But just the night before, Liverpool had a similar turnaround in terms of results. They were down heavy in the first. I might be misremembering exactly what went on, but they're down heavy in the first leg and they came back to Anfield and done it, right? If that's right, pretty sure it's something along those lines. And so this might be another example, because like that ground is going to be heaving. That Manchester, they're going to make it as uncomfortable as possible for Manchester City to play. We saw it in the title running when their bus turned up. Do you remember? And I'm not promoting like getting shit dashed at their bus, but they know how to make an atmosphere uncomfortable. And Man City have at times have capitulated under pressure, certainly under Guardiola in these moments, to Tottenham in the Champions League in that running. So will it happen again? Is this Man City a different beast now? You know, it is the greatest side I think we've seen in the Premier League under the greatest manager.
Yeah.
Will Liverpool be able to do enough to upset that It's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
Brilliantly poised.
Because I think also, like, so my concern if I'm Liverpool is the fact that you've got all, I mean, they might play quite similar to last week. I think this area is going to be really important because if you think of the Manchester Derby, what hurt Man City was the fact that they were able to get Darwin Nunez, as Rashford, or same with Wolves, same with Chelsea. A long ball, especially when you've got Stones, who sort of, yes, he's playing as a centre-back, but he's also kind of moving into midfield the bulk of the time. You'll have that superiority in midfield, which is a problem, I think, for Liverpool. Definitely, definitely. But Darwin Nunez in a game like this could really, really hurt the opposition. And then Salah kind of gets there with him. And so in terms of like possible moments, there's possible moments there where, you know, you get a goal from that, like they've done with Nicholas Jackson and Conor Gallagher did it. And like Cunha did it for Wolves as well earlier in the season. So like in that defensive transition, where if you move quickly, it was the same with Man United against Man City. Like it was a long ball to Bruno Fernandes, who kind of held onto the ball and waited for Rashford to come. Now, obviously, Rashford scores a fucking thunder bastard. So you're going to have to like take your moments. But if those moments can happen, like that's why we like football, right? I wonder if he'll make some... It'd be interesting to see how he sets up the midfield. I'm intrigued. Because he might even he might try and get someone like Diaz to come and like be a bit more central and just let Bradley and Robertson like bomb on down the sides. Because I think in the middle, I'd be a bit concerned with the amount of players that they've got.
Well, look at that quartet. Rodri, Stone, Silva and De Bruyne are in that middle block.
Yeah,
it's insane. Do you know, like the most impressive thing about Pep Guardiola, like I'm always banged on about, you know, could he do it at Stoke, right? Of course he could, but would it be as good? But he's tinkering, he's never ending. His tactics are ever evolving. Yeah. And one of the kind of conversations around Ange Postecoglou at the moment is this his system?
Is this it?
And
right.
Is this it? And, you know, he talks about having, you know, his plan B is to do plan A better.
Well, that's a Mark Warburton line.
Right. So he said it. He said it directly. He's nicked right. it. But but what he does in terms of, no one would ever, you'd never think that Stones would be completely comfortable in a midfield role as he is. Not only comfortable, but incredible.
Mate, he's playing attacking midfield. He's playing attacking midfield. It's incredible.
He's a centre back.
Yeah.
Grafted, dyed in the wall centre back.
Yeah. Like the way he's been, but I guess it's like the word you keep coming back with, Pep. It's control, though. It's control. Yeah. Control. It's everything that he cares about. And that was what another one from the Manchester game. Like, the Manchester Derby game was so much more interesting than people will give it credit for. Because the other thing that they were doing was that, like, they were playing so high up that, you know, if you imagine Liverpool and Man City, it was like this at one point. He had Rodri, like, even... You could, like, normally in two midfielders, you go, and a lot of the time it was kind of like that, right? But there were several times where they were both there. And actually, they were like on the 18-yard line. It was ridiculous. So you're essentially playing 5-2. And if you imagine, these two are not playing like a six role, which I guess Walker's there to kind of help with that. But even these two are kind of playing here and here a lot of the time.
Do you do that against Liverpool, though? Because there's one thing doing it against Manchester United where their confidence is fucked. You know, they've got players down in tools. You've got all kinds of problems off the pitch. Whereas Liverpool are not. They're galvanised. They're confident. They're all pulling in the same direction. There's a title challenge on. And they have the players in Nunez, Salah and Diaz to absolutely kill them on the break.
Yeah, I think that's why on the break is going to be important. And I think that's an element of Trent that you will miss a little bit. I think you might get a little bit more respect from Man City because of Liverpool being better in terms of getting out of a press. So someone please mention our injuries, for fuck's sake. I'm sick of it. What are you? Sorry, Ruri. Who do you support? Because everyone's got fucking injuries, firstly. Man United, we understand that Man United have had injuries. They still have no pattern of play, regardless of that.
I'm not going to give any.
But I'd like. Who are you talking about? Because I've spoken about everyone's injuries, right? How boring is that, talking about injuries all the time? Ruri. My point is, as much as like your moment of weakness in terms of not having the ball obviously leads to your ability with the ball as well. And so, as we said, as I said right at the start, if Keller, you know, they have to defend brilliantly. And it will be interesting, maybe play Joe Gomez just to be defensively really sound there and almost can't, to a point, play for the draw. But, and obviously Salah would be back in here and Diaz would be back in here as well. And then the whole game's played here. But I do think Darwin Núñez and Diaz, there's a proper matchup there that could be such a story. Could be so interesting. And actually down the other end as well, Haaland and Van Dijk. I think it'll obviously be another big part of it as well. But that what they'll be doing will be in such a sort of tight area. And in the game earlier in the season, that was one of the moments where Van Dijk's maybe misstepped to a point, a tiny bit. And it's so difficult when there's so much going on. Imagine like the pinball of a game when it's like this tight. Essentially, you're playing five a side because you are playing on a carpet as well. Like, to make perfect decisions all the time is so hard. The reason Van Dijk was so good against Chelsea and generally has been so good this season, I think, is that that sort of when like the whole Liverpool team's up here. Sorry, I'm going to hang on. Let me tell you something. When the whole team's up the pitch down the other end, that's when Van Dijk's actually miles better. Miles better. I think in this area, it's actually, for any defender, it's so much harder. And like Evans and Varane were literally on their own doorstep last week. So it'll be interesting to see where the game is played. In the last time they played, because you had Trent and Trent sort of stepped in and there was a bit more respect there, the game for Liverpool was kind of played here, but they were never able to get here. I wonder if the bulk of the game is going to... And sorry, this is shit if you're just listening on the podcast. I reckon the bulk of the game might be played here, but there will be all this space that you can maybe be that little bit more direct and hurt them with the likes of Salah and Núñez. But I think they got a chance. But I also think it's not about just this one game, personally. Well, who did Rory say he supported? Because I want to give him a fair... United have more academy kids in the City game than Liverpool had used all season. The narrative will still show it's all Ten Hag's fault.
Don't care.
Do you know what I would give you, Rory, right? I think it's a completely fair point. Is there's no point having to go at Man United about the Man City game. Like, absolutely pointless. It's the Fulham game. Like, you should still be good enough to beat Fulham. You should. Sorry.
Also, yeah.
Well, Fulham are quite good, but like, still. You know, You need a road out of like difficult periods. Look at Queen's Park Rangers. Look at Marty Cifuentes. And look at the job he's doing with a ramshackle squad that, you know, fortunately, he's got a mega mind. And therefore, we are giving ourselves a chance in what is an incredible championship season. Have you seen the table, Flav?
I have. Been looking at it a lot.
Yesterday, it's got even more ridiculous. Sheffield Wednesday won. Can they stop winning, please? Can everyone stop winning?
That's insane. Yeah, there's been a lot of success in the lower
echelons,
the lower rungs of the championship. Like QPR, you've done marvellous. What way is that form going? Is it going right to left?
Yeah.
You won last three.
Is that good?
That sounds good to me. Man.
Called it as well, didn't I? Called Leicester City. Fucking called it.
So, I know. Are you convinced now that QPR are staying up?
No. I wholeheartedly believe in what we're doing. You know,
right?
Like, again, if you want to be like, if you want to just be basic and sensible, then Man City win the league, right? But like, things can happen, and sadly for us, things could obviously happen. I'm absolutely thrilled with the way that we're playing. We've got West Brom tonight. This will be going out tomorrow, so the result will be in. Going to slap up Tom Garrett, I think, probably. Just try and find him, beat him up, and then we'll go beat West Brom. Should be fine.
Stoke!
Ooh, Craigie Danger! Bit of danger for our Craigie, sadly. OGs will know of Craig from the Great Touch of Big Lad days. Although, isn't it amazing, right? We've got the same points. Both got the same.
It's about momentum, isn't it? It's about momentum. It's about momentum. That's it. Do you know what? I think generally, I'd much rather watch the Championship.
Mate, but Championship's class, man. For sure.
It's class.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Birmingham as well. I was chatting to Will Brazier the other day. I said, what's that coming over the hill? Is it the Rangers? We're playing, we've got them soon. So big week for the lads. Two home games. We've got West Brom tonight. And then we've got Middlesbrough at the weekend. Tricky, but they are in 14th. And they are in a horrible run of form, so you never know.
Jim, are we now in a position now that we are thinking about beating West Brom? Are you playing at home, Loftus Road?
So West Brom are... you know, doing very well. They're in the playoff places right now. Probably the best of the rest.
If you beat them, that's just a massive message. And you look upwards, if anything. How far are you in the playoffs?
Wait, hang on a minute. We are, 20 points off the playoffs. So, probably leave that for this year and go again next year. But nah, mate, he's done. He's done brilliantly well. We could finish 15th. I'll take 15th. Actually, we could finish above Borough. We could finish 12th. If we're not careful, we'll finish 12th. That's the thing I'm worried about.
Yeah.
That's what I'm concerned about. If we're not careful here, we're going to end up finishing 12th.
So, James, as a QPR fan, how do you bridge the line between 12th. Wanting your manager to be successful, but also how much success do you want to have? Because you don't want envious eyes from other football clubs, do you? How much success now? You want to survive by the skin of your teeth, really. So just leave him alone.
Yeah, because you're right. Fucking hell, can't win, can you? But he'll do really well, and then he'll go. Yeah, I'm going to Palace or whatever.
Because it must. I mean, everyone complains about their football club, and you know, everybody could argue relatively why they're the most hard done by, right? But you lot are hard done by. Because you find yourself in, no matter what you do, if it's success in the short term, your manager's getting picked up. A player that's playing above his station or has hit a purple patch, he's getting picked up. You've got no money to spend.
Yeah. Do you know what, though? The thing is...
existing in the nothingness.
Fucking hell. I was wondering what was going to... Where? I was like, someone's going to slap me. Someone's going to slap me from somewhere. There it was. The thing, again, the second podcast we did with Mark, which was cracking, is I asked him to figure out the five most important things in building a club. And then we sort of spoke about that. And it is so interesting, the role of a sporting director and how important that sporting director is. And the bottom line, when it comes to football clubs, any football club now, and I sort of got to this realization of like, even Man United, which is, I think, a good thing for football, is that you have to make good decision after good decision after good decision. Like how your good decisions work is a different matter, right? So look at Real Madrid, right? They buy the best. You have them for 10 years. And I don't know if, you know, obviously this is a cycle that they would love to do again and again and again, and it looks like they're doing for the second time, so it should be all right. Mm. but they then buy the next crop that are the best, and those the best cost a lot, right? But if you're going to get 10 years out of them, that's fine. And then when it comes to FFP and all those things, you sort of build up your stores again to go and do it. A team like a Brighton or a Brentford, or even a Villa is a good example. Tiny little Villa.
Hold on.
Ring the alarm. Can't. It's a joke. It's a fucking joke.
Also, a Villa who looked to have broken FFP rules or P&L rules in the Premier League.
Well, they'll have Jacob Ramsey will have to be sold, I guess. But this is the point, right? This is the point. So Villa. Aston Villa can kind of have a bit of a go if they, but they have to have a model where they will have to sell the odd player now and again. And that player was Jack Grealish. You sold him for 100 million. You'd then be able to spend a solid amount of money to build up the entirety of a squad. That's a different idea. The thing that remains is that you have to make correct decision after correct decision for the budgets that you need to spend, right? So coming back to QPR, it's not about Marty. It's about good manager after good manager who fits the team. It's about correct decision after correct decision. That's what it's about. Yeah. And that's what's going to get you where you want to be.
As football moves to a world where it's much more about jiggery pokery, isn't it? It's about getting rid of the right players at the right time, maximizing value. You can't stockpile players anymore in the way that, Chelsea and...
Or spend your way out of trouble, right? That's the thing. Because Man United could spend their way out of trouble right now, couldn't they? Couldn't they go, fucking hell, we've been awful, haven't we? Oh, well, let's go buy some more. They could do that.
But
they can't because
degree.
The rules don't allow them.
Yeah, I mean, they. I don't know what their financial situation is in terms of how close they are to the P&L, but that they'd be in a better position than, say, Villa will be, for example. Mm. But in terms of managing and correctly assessing a situation, having that director of football and a relationship with the chairman is crucial. It's going to be probably the most important role. Mm. As important as the manager over a 10-year period.
Do you know what's so interesting?
Dan Ashworth at Newcastle is. Yeah. You really want him staying around at Newcastle because he's proven to be able to manage situations.
Yeah.
Barber at Brighton, they can't lose him. They lose him, Brighton, you'd think, fall apart because he's the guy. He's the guy planning every single next move. Right, we lose this one, this is how we're going to deal with it, this is the 10 players that can replace him. Dan Ashworth left for Newcastle and they brought in he was inside the club already and they were like, he's good enough.
So again, I know I'm pushing this podcast a lot, but it's so fascinating to a manager who is in it, right? But he's not so in it that he can't talk to you on a level. And we were talking about all of that. So he's talking about sort of, the stability and the different forms of that, like the sort of culture and all these buzzwords that people talk about, but the sporting director stuff, because we basically used... We used Man United because you can't just talk about Cambridge because people don't know about Cambridge. So we sort of utilized the sort of woes of Man United, I guess, to a point, or the mistakes of them to sort of give us a chance to kind of talk about it. And I do think it's interesting that these sporting directors are now becoming the new sort of like messiahs a little bit. But I wonder, because it's in its infancy as a role, is it something that because it worked here and here, will it always work? Will it keep working around, or will there be a sort of a sort of Wenger element to it where they were smart, but like anything, everyone will then catch up, and then can you that's why Pep's unbelievable, is Pep figures out the new thing and the new thing and the new thing. But for sporting directors, just because you've got Dan Ashworth, will that totally mean that it works? Possibly, because it's much more about kind of methodology than one person's sort of gut call on something. It's a bit of a new era. Like, it's not just about the manager anymore. And also, that was the last thing he said, thought was really interesting, was like the distances between the owners to the sporting director to the manager in terms of relationship and boundaries and things like that. Those are actually quite important as well, because people are prickly, aren't they? Like, people can get a bit sort of tentative.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be interesting.
Some good comments from last week. Darren Adams says, if James and Flav got so wound up about that guy asking what his top six team is, they should try living in Scotland and not supporting the old firm. And he said, what balls is piss the most is that. No, but if you had to choose.
Do it in a Scottish accent.
No, but if you had to choose.
Yeah, that would bore you, piss. I don't want to choose. I don't give a shit.
I have chosen. Listen, you're not listening. Mm. CM Stewie, this is great. So last week we were talking about, we asked the question, is a quad better than a threesome?
What was the reaction?
Different kind of question, sounds like. Quick answer on that. You prefer a quad or a threesome?
I think there'll be a lot. You've got a much higher percentage chance of dick touching you if you're in a quad.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a foursome. Which is not a problem.
Do you know what my answer is? I would go, can I ask you a question with another question, please? What's your dick ratio in this
I think if you're in a foursome, if you're going into a foursome and there's another man involved, you have to appreciate that you might get touched by his dick.
Yeah. Imagine it's a bit like the wheel, isn't it? You know, in the wheel, when the question gets it, they get the question wrong and they go down and you don't know who's coming up. Like if you're having a quadsome and you don't know who's on their way up, then your dick touching possibilities does rise.
If it happens, you just have to apologize and crack on. Really.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. The important thing is do you recognize? That's a good question. If you're in that scenario and there is a sort of, say, the back of your hand catches it, or eye contact, what are the rules? And is it like, what sound are you making? What? Is it sort of, do you want to keep morale high and go, nice? Or do you go, or is it like a,
lovely.
Nice. Is it all, you keep it sort of light and obviously, unless you're into it.
I'm well turned on, but it's like a massive dick right there.
Yeah. It's like there's a fly in the room, isn't there? It's like, I'm super turned on here, but that fly.
Just ignore it. Pretend it's not there.
Just ignore it, yeah. Just ignore the fly. Yeah.
If it's lands on your face,
you're right. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Wait, do you mind getting your dick out of my face, please, mate?
Sorry, fella. Well, yeah, what would you go with? Are you going, mate, fella? What are you saying?
Fella, definitely fella. Mate, could you just get that dick out of my face, please?
Fella, just a quick one. Can you keep your dick out of my face, please?
Please, on the end as well, please.
Please, yeah. You've got to say
please.
Please. Oh, good man. Good lad. Good fella. Good lad. Hey, top man.
Top man, you.
Top man. High five. No. We just said we wouldn't do that, didn't we? Okay.
That might be a sunshine. All right, sunshine. Can you?
Yeah, power move. You'll see his erect penis just wilt a little bit because you've power moved him.
Yeah, I'm not sure you want to do power moves in a foursome. So we.
Great. So, all right. Next thing, top power moves in a foursome.
Yeah, that's it. Now we're talking. This is Chaffin.
Yeah. Now we're back. There we go. Or I guess, but ratio, like, is that a 3-1 ratio, or are you two on? Is it a 2-on-2? It's a whole different can of worms, isn't it? Do you go, like, is there, I don't know, there's different kinds of power moves, sadly.
Yeah, we'll find out more
next week. Right, yeah. CM Stewie said, if there was a point system, so yeah, we're talking about the quad, weren't we? A point system for the cups, my initial thought would be something like League/Champions League, 5 points. Yep. Europa League, 3 points. FA Cup, 2 points. League Cup, 1 point. So you could argue Premier League or Champions League could be higher than the other, but doesn't change the treble is better than the quad Liverpool can win this season. For Klopp's sake, if Liverpool only win one more trophy this season, I hope it's the league, so it cements him as one of the greats. Can see it always being used against him if he finishes his career with just one. Well, no. I don't know if anyone's up for it. I can't be asked to do it, I'll be honest. But what I would love to see, in terms of the great managers, with this point system, So 5 for a league or a Champions League, 3 for Europa League, 2 for FA Cup and 1 for League Cup. Where does that put the greats? If someone puts it in the chat, then we can talk about it next week because I think that'd be good.
Yeah, we could talk about it next week. I think that'd be an interesting conversation. I think, though, that if you don't consider Klopp one of the Premier League greats, you'd need your head testing. Well,
unless he's not got the points.
Yeah, but that's such a... The points is a statistical way of looking at something that's not statistical. There are parameters and levels of achievement. Like what Guardiola has achieved can't be the same as what Klopp did because the challenges were different.
Well, yeah, Guardiola did his thing last week, didn't we? Did we talk about that last week? It was like, why does everyone talk about trophies so much? The bloke says with all the trophies.
Won them all.
Yeah. Bold takes. Couple of bold takes. Bold takes is back.
Would Pep Guardiola have done more with what Klopp has had at Liverpool?
That's the one they throw out there, isn't it?
That's the question.
Off you go. Off you go, guys. Bold takes. Paul Casey. Hello, Paul. Hope you're well, mate. Arsenal winning a treble this season, including the Community Shield, would be more impressive than Liverpool winning their quadruple.
Sorry, I had a message from my wife that was really important. Please say that again.
It's fine. Oh, a bit of fear there. A little bit of fear from Flav there, which I liked. Arsenal winning a treble.
James, I respect you as much as anybody else on this planet. And what I did the last few times where I zoned out towards the end of the podcast was a lack of respect to someone I love dearly.
Do you know what I will say? Okay? Cards on the table. Earlier in the pod, I'd love to know if anyone can spot it. There was a moment when you were talking about something and I was sort of half listening, but I kind of lost you for a second.
Okay, so let me tell you something. There were two occasions where I asked you direct questions and you just didn't answer me. Let me tell you that.
Yeah.
Sorry. But you were playing about with your fucking little
tactics board. Yeah.
Tactics board. And it's almost like I didn't exist.
It's just a great bit of kit, isn't it? It's just a really, it really takes your content or just general ability to illustrate your thoughts on the game to another level.
I don't care where the positions of players are, Jim. I don't care.
More a vibes guy. Aren't you? Yeah, Arsenal winning a treble this season, including the Community Shield. Listen. So essentially...
No, I don't even finish that fucking sentence.
Arsenal winning a treble, including the Community Shield. So that's Champions League, League and Community Shield would be more impressive than Liverpool winning their quadruple. So that's League, League Cup, Europa League.
And the Community... They've got four, haven't they?
So what's League, the fourth one?
FA Cup. He's basically... FA Cup. God, look, so, but you're basically saying in this instance that the Champions League trumps all apart from the Premier League. You need both of those. As long as you got both of those, there's nothing anyone else can ever do.
Zugazig says, why do Prem fans even debate whether the Champions League is on the same level as the Prem? It isn't. The Champions League is hardest to win by far. Do you agree with that?
I wouldn't be so definitive about it.
I agree. I thought that was a bit too heavy, Zugazig.
It's a conversation, but you're being very definitive. It's definitely a conversation.
It depends on the how.
And also, what just fucking rankles me while I've got it? Prem fan. There are no fucking Prem fans.
Yeah.
Say Premier League first. Also, there are no Prem fans. I'm not a fan of the Premier League. I could give a fuck about the
That's such a good point. No, but there are Prem. There probably are. Like you might. It's like NFL. I like the NFL. You don't have a team. Not allowing it.
I'm not. What do you want me to do? Talk about fucking Aston Villa? This is fuck. I've got to stop saying this because they're going to fucking batter us at the weekend.
Mate. Yeah. That is a monster of a game, isn't it?
Great game for football, for the neutrals, for sure. I think both me and Catherine will be going through it. Catherine is our resident Liverpool fan. I think we will both be going through it massively because Spurs are not going to play any differently. I think Villa have it in them to be a bit more reactive to the situation in that they've proved that before. I remember a Villa fan on the overlap saying, we've got lots of ways we can play and every game seems to be subtly different.
There's a thing. It's like a fan flex. It's a sort of like, well, what you wouldn't, it's nearly a power move, but it's not. It's something that Liverpool fans are great at this, really, really great at this, where you
what
kind of,
now?
you've not done anything wrong, but it's what he said there, the Villa fan, he's not done anything wrong here, but him saying, well, the thing is the way we play, there's subtle differences at all times. It's just like this little, like, I don't know, like, someone have to articulate it for me. There's like the way a fan will talk about their club to just like lace it with sort of genius, you know, being genius or being a little bit cleverer than the rest. I just, that's one of those. That's why I jumped on that. Sorry. Carry on.
I think I've said something wrong again. I don't know.
I don't think, yeah. Yeah, you did. You called, you said Catherine was a Liverpool fan, not a Villa fan.
All right. We were just talking about Liverpool.
Oh, no. We're falling over. Fuck.
Yeah, so it's one of those things. It'll be interesting. I'm not going to enjoy it. In fact, I'm not even watching it. I'm not going to watch it because it's my I can't say because my wife might see it, but she's never going to hear that. And we're doing something for my wife. It's her 40th birthday. I won't be seeing it.
What I would like on that point system is, say, why do Prem fans even debate the Champions League? It's much harder to win Champions League. I want, if you times the difficulty of Premier League matches, because the question here with these two is, if the Premier League, if those top teams in the Premier League, how difficult are those games against, you know, the bottom half teams, right? Whereas in the Champions League, you probably, I say this loosely, well, once you get to the knockouts, you're playing harder teams, right? So if you could find the difficulty kind of rating of the teams times by the amount, or divided by the amount of games that you're playing, like the total of that divided by the games you're playing, then you'd understand if the Champions League is harder or not. Can someone do that for me as well, please?
Changing the format of the Champions League, aren't they?
Yeah. What do you think about the new Champions League format that is on the horizon? Starts next year. They were clever, weren't they? They went, yeah, doing it in 24, 25. Honestly, guys, don't even worry about it. And then, so then when it arrives, no one can stop it.
Why would you want to stop it?
So the new format's 36 teams, isn't it? 36 team league. Four games within the league, and there's four pots within the league. So you'll play two games at home, two games away. So from a group stage point of view, everyone's playing one more game. And then from then on, the top eight teams go into the knockouts. Oh, no. So the top eight go into the knockouts. Then the next eight go into a playoff for that last 16. And then the bottom lot are eliminated. People have different views on it. I'd love to know what the patrons think. Let us know. Flav, what do you think about the new Champions League format?
I think of all the things you might have an issue with UEFA and FIFA and the people that are running the game, to get upset about this is really... The group stages of the Champions League are nothingness. It's just nothing, right? You don't watch it because the difference between the very best generally and the weakest teams is significant.
So, a few questions for you.
Change the format. I don't know what the problem is. My issue with Morris is the reaction to it. So there was this kid who tweeted after this it came out, said, listen to this. Fucking. So basically, the Super League, but it's okay now because UEFA are getting the money. Like by 10,000 people. That's 10,000 idiots. 10,000 morons. This guy being the key moron.
Top moron.
The biggest moron here is this guy.
Elite.
How is it in any way comparable to the Super League other than the fact that they are playing in a league format? The biggest problem with the Super League is it is a closed shop. You didn't have to be good to qualify for it. You just had to be big. Whereas to qualify for this, you have to do well in your respective league. It's nothing like that. So UEFA are always going to get the money because it's they own the competition. Sorry, Jim. It's completely down to how well you perform during the domestic period. So for 10,000 people to like that is beyond me. Like, are they that thick? Are they that thick? They think this is exactly the same thing as what was proposed before.
One thing that's blind about it, right, is that no one, like this tweet's not talking about, it's the same for the Conference League and the Europa League.
Yeah.
So that's three leagues already, right?
What does it matter? Why would anyone be so staunchly opposed to this? I wouldn't understand. I wouldn't be irritated by changing it for the sake of it. Well, look, I understand so that.
The change is to make more money. Let's be honest. Like that's the fact around this, right? I guess how that money's being used is a different
operates
question.
In the exact same way. Everybody in football operates to maximize the amount of money they get. Your football club does, the players, the agents, everything in football is about money. So when the people that run the game are also moving that direction, now it's like, hold, this is terrible. This is absolutely terrible. But every single facet of the football game is about money. Those that don't have it in the lower elements of the Premier the football pyramid in England, and those that do have it at the top, parachute payments, maximizing profit, P&L, it's all about money. So what? There's an extra game. The Champions League is going to make a little bit more money for UEFA.
But this is the thing, right? They're trying to stop a Super League, and what will happen with a lot of these things is that, it was the way with the Champions League as it is now. You have two pots. You have a performance pot and you have a market pot. And the top five leagues who get the most eyeballs, they make loads more money than the other guys. I remember we did a video on this on Ball Street back in the day, and it was one where Basel knocked out Liverpool in the group stage, yet Liverpool made more money from the Champions League that year. That's fucking ridiculous, right?
Right.
And that's been going on for a long time. So, go on.
They bring the most money.
But it's just like there needs, and I get it. Look, I get that market, and I think the Super League would have been far more dangerous if that was the case. But it's the same principle in terms of if we want to be fair, that's not fair. Like that market share is not fair, right? And so with this, in terms of the format, I think the things that are important here are one, it's one extra game for let's say Copenhagen, right? And Copenhagen. In their group stage, they play three. They play six games, don't they? So it's less games from those guys. So there's less revenue for those guys, right? Mm. Like if you're playing three away and three at home, that's less. So they're going to make less money because they're only playing four games. The second question, and I don't know the answer to this, is it easier to get in the knockout stages? If you're, again, say like a Copenhagen, like an opportunity for all, is it easier or harder in this new format to get in that top 8/top 16? I don't actually know. Do you think it's harder? I mean, I don't know. Go on.
You've got to be in the top eight of the entire competition. Was it 16 or eight?
So of the 36, there's the top eight and they go straight in.
Yeah.
So let's say... Say it's Madrid, and it's going to obviously, the top teams will be at the top of the table. So it's most likely to be to those guys. What it does do is the difference between in a four-team group, PSG nearly got knocked out this year, right? Man United did get knocked out this year. Teams got knocked out this year, that in a four-team group, I would say that the difference between finishing fourth and eighth and or even at worst, 4 and 9th, you're still in the competition. Whereas when you're in a group stage, if you finish third, you're out.
Yeah.
So the safeguarding for those guys, I think the safeguarding for the top teams is much easier in this league format, in my opinion, I think.
But by the same token...
Is there more opportunity for the smaller teams? Possibly. But not the top eight. I don't think it'll be the top eight. I think it'll be this is the problem, right? Again, and in terms of the weeding out, right? If you finish second in your group in the Champions League at the moment, you are through, right? In this new format, you've got to get into top eight, right? Say you finish ninth, you do brilliantly, and then you get Juventus or what, do you know what I mean? You've got another... There's a barrier for you to get to that last 16, and that for me does not feel fair. If I'm honest,
I think you're right. I think consistently the biggest teams will finish in that eighth.
There's a hidden safeguarding there, I think, for the top teams. Once again,
we'll only know when we see it play out because even if Man United, you would say would in terms of the importance for the Champions League, the people that are running that competition ideally want Manchester United in the knockout stages just because of the amount of eyes it brings to it. But they still wouldn't have qualified in that top eight this season.
Probably not. I think it makes the group stages better. It makes it more exciting. When they say every goal matters, I think, because if you're just trying to sneak into the playoffs, which we've spoken about playoffs being great, then from that point of view, it's good. Overall, there's more games. Overall, there's more. This is where I might have got something wrong here, because I heard someone say, I think it was Simon Jordan saying that there's going to be, to win it, you've got to play 17 games instead of 13 games. So I don't know. So I might be getting something wrong there in terms of the amount of fixtures, isn't it? Because there's a lot to take in. It's quite complicated, right? But overall, I think that in terms of that league format, the other thing that I think it's going to affect possibly, or there's just going to be more moaning about more games if there is more games.
That's the biggest. I mean, we may well not be in this competition, so I won't be watching any of it. There will be lots of games here where they're like dead rubbers and they can't eradicate that. But do you know what? Often in rule changes, I'm kind of like I react badly to them, like VAR and the blue card and all that shit. I just think it's completely pointless.
Sorry, forgive me. I thought it was. It's eight games. So you're going to play eight games. So it's more.
In the group stages.
Yeah, sorry. I thought that was the case. So it's eight games instead of four games. So,
yeah.
And because I pivoted as I was talking at the time, because I was thinking, say for Copenhagen, they'll actually, in terms of making more money, because that's what you want, more games and therefore more money. That makes sense now. I thought something was wrong. So, but what that does is, so that will give, it's misleading, I think, to the top teams, for the smaller team, because they go, oh, wicked, four games at home, more money, ka-ching, right? And probably more money overall. But again, I think in terms of the overall amount of games, because the Champions League brings in so much money per game, the distance between the amount of money that the top teams get and the rest will be even more significant than before. And again, coming back to that league element of it, what might happen, or like, there's such an opportunity for those top teams to finish in the top eight, in my opinion. I think it will be interesting.
They always qualify anyway. Same teams do qualify typically every year.
Yeah, I think it will be interesting. I just think that for the minnows, I think it's harder than ever to get to last 16.
But you can get to that platform, that playoff. You can get to that playoff, and those playoffs suddenly become super interesting. So that, like, you could have a bad campaign, finish 24th, and be in a playoff and win that one game, and you're in the group stages.
I think we will find. The other thing, when it keeps coming back to the money, as well, say let's stick with Copenhagen, right? Copenhagen sneak into that second batch, right? They then play, so that means that in the Champions League, they will have played 10 games. Whereas in the group stage, they're playing 6, 7, 8. So it's two games extra, even if they just get to the playoff.
Yeah.
So again, it's like, what are you after, really? I think for an overall desire to win the whole thing, I think it's harder. But actually, I think there's a much of a muchness probably there as well. I don't think it's as horrific as people think, but I do think there is an element of safeguarding for the top teams a little bit. But I think it actually might be quite fun. I think it make the group stage more interesting.
The competition without those big teams isn't Champions League. They need to be in there because of the amount of money they generate. It's not that I want them to be there on merit. They will always be there on merit because they have all the financial advantages. But it's important to the Champions League as a brand to have Real Madrid, Barcelona, Man City now, and others in there. Tottenham. But I think if of all the things to be angry about or frustrated, I don't see it as that bad an issue. It isn't the Super League. And if this is a worthwhile substitution to what was proposed by the football clubs.
I may have just burped there, so apologies if anyone heard that. Did you hear me burp? Did you? If I did, I'm sorry. I don't know, man. I think it's good that we've got our backs up, as in, like, what are you up to? Like, and people are generally kind of funny with change. Same with obviously with the blue cards as well. But I think with this one, I think you can sort of see it for what it is. I don't I don't know if it'll be an improvement or not. I mean, I'm intrigued.
It's one of the things you just have to wait and see. It's like you can't give a definitive answer either way because you have to wait and see. So we'll do that.
But it is all about making UEFA more money. Which, yeah, that's so, the world, isn't it? If YouTubers were flavors. So we've given you a couple of Rory Jennings options. It's now time for Flav to choose his flavor. So are you... We've got quite a few here, Flav, right?
Yep.
New Man Tube says, Flav is the black coffee of football YouTube. Bitter, yet somehow refreshing. Gurdeep suggests that Flav is the custard cream of football. Classically tough on the outside and soft in the middle. Like Spurs. No need for that. Morgan says that if James is the sorbet of football YouTubers, Flav is the salted nuts of pods. A lovely handful. Mad Mike says Flav is the beef bourguignon of football. Rugged, rich, and full of punchy flavour. But just like its French creators, tends to offend people and divides opinion. In essence, the hipster's choice. Sam Schofield says...
I don't think I offend people. Do I offend people? People get upset a little bit. I can understand it, actually.
I think some people don't. Sometimes people don't see that you're like ultimately joking, the bulk of the time, as we both are. But that's why we lose a lot of people, I think. But also, then a lot of people enjoy the pod as well because they have a sense of humour.
I think I realised that. I thought it was always evident. Maybe I'm not as funny as I think I am. But when I was saying, I can't remember what I said, but the live show we did, I said something about what was it? Why do we even watch? You shouldn't even watch that. Do you remember what I said?
Was it a Stoke fan? Was it like a championship?
Yeah, something about the championship. Like, why are they, is it even not, should it even be on television? Something along those lines. Like, obviously, I'm joking because of course it should be on television. And then a couple of people who were sitting, Catherine was sitting next to them, and they were like, "Oh no, they didn't like that." And I was like, "Fucking joke! No one thinks
five
I'm
years in, he does a joke. It does his joke every fucking week. What's going on?" Sam Schofield.
In this is that QPR exists in a nothingness.
Yeah. Do you know, even little things like, you know, we're talking about, I said the lower echelons, which just somehow sounds a little bit more glamorous, whereas you said rung. Somehow sounds just more difficult, more turgid. Sam Schofield said, Flav equals the dirty uncle of football YouTube. Jim equals the Martin Tyler for new generation of fans. I don't know if that's good or not. Is that bad?
No, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's not good.
Dirty uncle.
Dirty bungle. What's bungle mean? What does that word mean? Is that an offensive word? Am I going to have to edit that?
Dirty bungle. No, you're fine. It's
safe. Yeah, Dabchab says, Jimbo's a nice blueberry cheesecake. Well, Flav would be that post-drinks late-night kebab.
I miss those. I haven't had one of those.
Yeah, you know, I do think that sometimes. Decades.
Yeah.
Tockler Demon. Oh, he's come after me as Tockler Demon. He said JLA is a YouTube sorbet, decent but sells itself as a bit better than it really is. Brackets.
Why be mean?
Yeah. Just look at the clickbait. Why? Don't argue.
Just why are people out there just think, do you know what, I'm wake up, I want to be a cunt today. I'm wake up, I want to be an arsehole. I'm gonna make someone else's day a little bit worse.
My titles are like, I've always think that feel like they're like cheeky clickbait. They're not like
just ignore
horrific clickbait. No, I'm intrigued. No, they're not. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, but ignore it. It's fucking moron.
Just look at the clickbait. Don't argue. Whereas Flav is an ice cream van, more of an occasional, rare and hard to find, but always a classic. There you go. Bloody good bloke. What a nice bloke.
I like the coffee one.
Last one. And you can choose coffee. Flav is the bacon butty. No nonsense, no extravagance. But my God, do you want it to start your weekend? Yeah, that's quite good.
That is good.
Quick fire, good clean fun. Leah's Legs says, good clean fun. When the ball hits the side netting and that team's fans cheer thinking they've scored, followed by a loud, That is good.
Yeah, it's good. That's good stuff.
And last one, I think. Oh, 1 week bans. I can run through them quickly. Super quickly, because we had a few. And again, you know, I think people were getting a bit annoyed with. We're all getting a bit aggy. Bogan says Liverpool fans claiming they were first to do everything. Is that true?
I think a lot of people.
Yeah, Burnley and Sheffield United need a year ban from potential promotion to the Premier League if they finish less than 20 points. It's harder than you think to stay up. It's tough, isn't it? Silly man. Arsenal scoring goals. Quite over the top, really. Shouldn't really be overscoring like this at this point of the season. Yeah. Jacob Stringer, world class or not debates. How can you decide when we don't have a standard for what world class is?
Yeah, I'll gladly never have another one of those conversations.
Didn't you chuck something about Foden out last week?
He's the best player in the league.
Ah, different.
Yeah. I don't want to have a conversation where it has to be prefaced by the foundation of an argument. So what is world class? Then we'll discuss. It's been done to death. It's like you could put that in the same park as Messi and Ronaldo conversations, world class conversations, combined 11s. And no doubt I'll do another couple of combined 11s this season because I fucking will because they pay me.
Do you know what? The one combined 11 I'm kind of intrigued to do as just a bit of fun is a Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool one. I think people's heads will explode.
Mate, if you want clips and engagement, do it.
Is that the YouTube, please? last one.
Let's just quickly get your thoughts quickly on that. What Arsenal players do get into the Man City team?
Wow. I feel like there's hunger for this said video. Do it? Do you want the one that's horrible? The one that's like, oof. You got to pick between Saliba, Van Dijk, and Stones, and Diaz, and Gabriel. Oh. But Gabriel's unbelievable. Why do people get so? Thank you, Thomas. I actually really like combined. Why do people get so angry about combined 11?
I don't think they get angry. The reaction is anger typically, and when you're in them. When you do them, I've received more grief from combined 11s than anything else I've ever done. It's insane.
Do you know what we should do? Do you think we could get it off the ground? You have a grief armistice. Everyone, all football fans, for 1 week of the season, just take a week off Twitter.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think it'll happen. To answer your question, James, the correct answer, without any argument, is Saliba. And well, it's got to be Gabriel, right? It has to be, right? Because you look at
that's your two. Those are your two. So you don't want Diaz, you don't want Van Dijk, you don't want.
I want them all. I want them all, right? But I'm just the reason my argument might be is the amount of chances they face or the goalkeeper faces because of there is insane. Was it 1.6 or 1.9 a game chances created against them?
Yeah, they're defensively aren't
Liverpool. They? Liverpool and City are not doing that.
But is that down to them? Do you know what I mean? Honestly, like the ball, everyone high presses now, so the ball's up the other end of the pitch.
I'll tell you what, then, if I were building a team out of those three, Saliba goes in. Are we agreed?
Not necessarily. I want to do a video on it. I think
do a video on it. It's got that.
Oh, do you know who I've got? Do you know who I've got on the pod next week? Rory's coming on the pod next week. I might do it with Rory. That'd be class.
I love listening to Rory speak. I just love it. Why he's so hated.
He's a great guy. But this made me laugh.
I might ring him up this afternoon.
Just do it. See how he's getting on. Matt says, get in your hoodie pocket stuck in your front door handle. Yeah, that's tough. No one likes that. Oh, and show additional replies, including those that contain offence. Oh, Sarah's here again. Sarah loves my Twitter account. She really does.
James, is there anything more infuriating? You know when? I'd like to hear some examples how inanimate objects have infuriated you. So an example would be terrible
for that.
Are you?
Yeah.
Mate, sometimes I fucking hate inanimate objects. So if I'm walking through past the door. And the door handle catches the loop in my jeans and drags me back. It drives me fucking insane.
Yeah.
What are you doing, door handle?
Do you know what's, you know, like,
this gets on my nerves. I sometimes get furious for this.
I I'm trying to think. Do you know what's a bit annoying with this chair? This chair is like the arms don't go above the table. I can't get them high enough. So I'm always like a distance. I'm always like banging into it. I'm a bit of a distance away. Especially he's gone. He's gone. Well, that's a good one. We'll finish on that. Right. Thing, inanimate objects that drive you mad.
Yeah. See you later, everyone.
See you later, everyone. Have a great weekend. And yeah, keep your chin up. All right. We're in it together. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.